Okay, I need a motion to come out of executive session, go into regular session.
So moved, Will Canoodle.
Second, Adele Jones.
Motion made by Mr. Canoodle, seconded by Mr. Jones. Ms. Jones, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Good afternoon, welcome to the April 10th, 2024 board meeting. I called the meeting to order at 4:00 and received a motion to go into executive session by Mr. Johnson, and it was seconded by Ms. Jones. Before we approve the agenda, I need to take a roll call. Mr. Johnson.
Here.
Ms. Wise.
Here.
Dr. Mastin.
Here.
Mr. Hayes.
Here.
Ms. Jones.
Here.
Mr. Canoodle.
Here.
And I am here. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Silence, please.
Thank you.
Motion for the approval of the agenda.
So moved, Dr. Mastin.
Second, Adele Jones.
Motion made by Dr. Mastin, seconded by Ms. Jones, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Motion for the approval of the regular and executive minutes from March 13th, 2024 board meeting and the minutes from the March 27th, 2024 special board.
So moved, Dr. Mastin.
Second, Will Canoodle.
Motion made by Ms. Wise, seconded by Mr. Canoodle, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Next, we move to the superintendent's report.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for being here. Always appreciate your time. We'll begin the monthly financial reports and Professor Summer, Mrs. Hatfield.
Good evening. Tonight I'm going to be presenting the monthly financials as of March 31st. We are at 75% of the fiscal year complete and 73.1% of our payroll is complete. On the tax collection report, for March tax receipts were $51,591, which brought our year-to-date total tax receipts to $11,979,739. And at this point in the year, we've received 100.9% of our anticipated tax receipts. Looking at last year, we're a little bit lower than last year. Last year, we were at 101.5%, but we're still pretty much right in line. I did want to point out that the amount that we're receiving in penalties is declining. And I think it's a direct reflection of our economy. More people are working. They're paying, they're able to pay the property taxes. And, you know, there's not as many delinquent properties. So, next is the call center report. If you look down, our salary, our payroll expenditure for the year is 73.1%. If you look down at our line, we're only at 65.9%, so we're doing great on our salary line. We're well below our expenditure percentage there of what we've spent on the year for salary. On the next page, if you look down, our overall expenditure percentage is 64.1%. which is well under the 75% of the fiscal year. So again, overall, we're spending under budget a little bit. I do think there's probably some areas that are gonna go over budget a little bit, but overall, we're gonna be fine because we have a cushion there due to our spending just a little bit under. I think there's just a couple, and they might not, but I think there's a couple that have a possibility of going over.
Why are we, under? I mean, where are we making our savings?
Why are we under? I'm not really sure why. I'm just, you know, I do the numbers and
those are the numbers. When we fund, the biggest item in the budget is salary.
Right.
So when we sign contracts for expenditures for employment. We also budget in the event of the compounding. We're believing that the value for expenditure on salary will remain the same for next year. As a board, you should feel good that we're ready for the salary expenses that we've negotiated with the folks that we've negotiated with and the other employees of the district. Districts usually get into a pickle, or can get into a pickle, when you negotiate a contract out and you don't think about compounding or steps. We're in good shape for the next 3 years in terms of our finances, but the savings for this year rests. So let's fast forward a year. That percentage will be higher than 64%. I've got it at about 72% for April of 25. So we'll continue through that. Chris has done a good job managing this, the areas that we're keeping an eyeball on. I mean, think about your home expenses. It's utilities and the costs for utilities or property. Athletics is costing us more and may cross over.
Why?
It's the officials. It's always the officials. I'm laughing. Mr. Barger is an excellent official. But the truth of the matter is that you can't play your events unless you have good officiating and the cost of officiating. Mr. Hayes has been in that arena also. And, you know, it's definitely going up. So the budget that you think you're going to have in June of 23, again, it's always a picture of the budget. The budget will tell you what the budget's going to be as you live it. And so I suspect that when we bring you the preliminary for next year, there'll be, you're going to see a bump in the athletic line, and then before those expenses, the cost of travel is cost of transportation. We're responsible for 10% of the state bill for buses that run along the way. And then, you know, the price of fuel continues to do this. You see it when you fill up your vehicles. And oil's at about $85 a barrel right now. So we, you know, those would be our answers. It's a flexible planning, sort of a flexible planning instrument. But the point of the matter is that you can do your projections based on your fixed costs in terms of where they're going to be, and we're in good shape.
And with the new school and new programs, when we start seeing that increase our cost? Like plumbing is, I'm thinking about particular.
Well, we're going to see a couple of different things. We'll see, on one hand, we'll see a step increase in terms of enrollment. And that step in enrollment, and you also increase your amount of state support for the programs, teacher units. You're also going to pick up expense for the local expense on salary, or the local portion of those salaries. So then, you know, the board is aware. We've been in this period of time where we have, and we will be doing this when we come to you in June again, where we have intentionally been putting resources into the set-aside accounts, primarily maintenance set-aside, with the intention of supporting the new school program. And on the 27th, we have every intention of going through, of putting that alt for that third floor on there, and we'll pay for that with local funds. The question is what happens afterwards? What happens afterwards? Instead of putting money into those set-aside accounts, it will roll itself into the operating side.
Okay.
And that should protect future boards and administrations for significant period of time going forward. That has to do with growth, number of homes that are built, and appreciation of property, the
county. So there's about six or seven different things that are in here. But our position right now is pretty strong. And Chris is going to tell you about that in the financial position report.
But as Dr. Carson said, this is basically like a spending plan.
Right.
It's going to be over, sometimes it's going to be under, but we want to see what the true costs were, so when we go to do our budget next year, we know, okay, are there areas that we need to raise the budget, are there areas we need to lower the budget, and maybe why did it go over? Was it something of an exceptionality that we purchased that, you know, isn't going to be an every year item?
Right.
So, you know, you kind of look at those things.
Sure.
Yeah, that's why we have it. So we just assume, you know, let it play out and see where it ends up. But mm-hmm. but overall, yeah, we're good. Next is the ESSER report. In our mental health category, we had payroll costs for our mental health counselors. On the TSC project, we had payroll costs for forklift instructors, and we also paid for billboard advertising out of that. And in the indirect costs category, we had our final indirect cost payment to the district out of ESSER 3. And I did also just want to let you know that in March, I did an amendment to move money within the ESSER 3 funds. We had more than we needed in our mental health category for the salaries and OECs. So in order to get us through September, we kept enough in there for that, and then we moved the rest into our learning loss supply category. And that's going to enable us to purchase iPads and the branding cases for this year's freshmen, this coming year's freshmen, for FY25. So we'll get another year of ESSER money for that.
And what's the difference between the obligation date and liquidation date?
Well, the liquidation date of September 30th is when it has to be spent.
Okay.
But that also means you can do a purchase order and encumber it on a purchase order.
Okay. But it can be delivered later on.
Right. Like, you know, if you're in all, and I don't want it to be this close, but like if you're in August and you say, oh, we have $5,000 to spend and we're going to buy whatever, you know, that mm-hmm. fits into the grant, obviously, but you could do a PO to encumber those funds by September 30th, but it still has to be paid by November 30th. So that's what the liquidating needs. It needs to be completely done.
We're trying to finish it up, quite frankly. Move on. Any other questions for Mrs. Hatfield? Thank you, Chris. Back in just a minute. District purchase orders on the sheet in front of you, a couple of things that I wanted to point out. Mr. Hay was able to do some haggling regarding a tractor, the tractor trailer CDL program to Burgies. This is the expansion of the CDL program that we spoke about a month or so ago. So with the board's permission and approval, we would be proceeding with that. The funding for this comes straight from the state in the mini bond bill appropriated by our legislators. And we sincerely appreciate their support of this program. We're going to, again, be able to offer more offerings in terms of CDL-A, also CDL-B programs. And a conversation last week with a lively conversation with a contractor last week who was telling me that he was actually sending employees to Washington, D.C. for a 3-day training for a CERT in order to be able to pull their trailers and those types of things. Well, which is that cost? He said about $1,200, and I think it's a piece. And so he's supposed to be sending us the information, Kelly, because we think we ought to be able to offer a 3-day program right here in Sussex County, and
And I told him I was sure that we could do it for 800. well, I'm still waiting for that, but I'll be pursuing that and having a conversation with Mr. Dang about that.
Now, is that truck going to be here for us only, or is that going to get rotated between the three schools as
us
well?
Only.
Us only. So this is ours.
This is ours. We'll get it wrapped. We'll have a trailer out. It's going to say Suffolk Tech, all education, CDL training. Sure, Mike and Kelly have some ideas already about the wrapping on that, but it's ours. And then...
Will we still get every third on the other ones?
Yes, we will.
Wow. Great.
It worked out well. Second thing is, the next item on the list was a purchase order to Southern Comfort for water quality remediation. Funding source was Filter First money from the state of Delaware. Mr. Athey, can you give us some more details about what work they did?
So they are scheduled to give us some more filter bottle fillers, as well as fixing one of the sinks and welding, and adding more sinks for the CMA program.
Okay.
In that lab space. So it's all fresh water quality type stuff. I'm sorry, taking away two offending fixtures that are down in what will become a CMA lab.
Offending fixtures?
Yes.
I'm sure I heard you right. Okay. Thank you very much. Any questions about POs or, oh, there was information items at the bottom about dollars that are flowing to our contracted folks, so you have an idea of
technology presentation.
The amount. Right. Next item is the financial position report. Mrs. Hatfield.
Okay. So this is that report that we do 3 times a year. This is the last one we have for this year. This is a report that's done 3 times a year. The next one we'll do in August. It's due in August. But this report is done to show our district solvency or position throughout the year and where we think we're going to be at June 30. This report came about because there was a district up north that had a financial issue several years ago. And because of that, they're making all the districts do this. The majority of the info on this report comes from the Daily Validity that I just passed out to you. They want information as of March 31st as far as our balances in certain appropriations and encumbrances that are in certain appropriations. So I get that directly from that report, and I put it into the financial position report. Then the information that I put in, the summary page is made. It pulls all that information and puts it on the summary page. On the far right column on the summary page, it shows what we project our balance to be in all of our local appropriations as of June 30th. There's no big differences from last year. Everything, is falling in line with, years past. So we're basically in good financial position. We're very solvent. There's projections that go along in this report, too, to kind of project payroll costs, material and supply costs, but we do our best to make those projections and come up with that projected available balance of June 30. So I'm happy to say we're in a good financial position.
Any questions? Thank you, Mrs. Hatfield. A couple of policies that we brought last month for your consideration. We've made some edits over the first is pertaining to policy JJH as it pertains to student travel, and puts parameters and requirements for approval regarding student travel, extracurricular trips, funding process, calls out single day in-state, single day out-of-state, overnights, travel sponsors, and item G, foreign travel. Mr. Cronulla had requested a statement regarding liability, and that the district was going to clearly state that anything that was done on foreign travel that the district didn't kind of like a hold harmless statement on the travel provision, so that's been included in that particular policy. Item policy JFA regarding the lottery continues to have the changes that we discussed last month. One of the things that was changed, we thought actually strengthened the policy, was under item 5, under guidelines. I spoke to you last month, and we spent quite a bit of time on talk under information, was our connection, membership in the Choice Club of the state of Delaware, that we're actually a part of that code responsibility. And so we thought it would be a good idea under guidelines for the policy to actually call out the fact that Delaware Code Title 14, Chapter 4, dealing specifically with school district employment choice program, be designated as part of the policy in terms of being the founding guidelines as to how we're proceeding with the program itself. There's also a section in there, as we have discussed, under definitions, where the building capacity shall be limited up to 1,800 day students with the program. Current code has us at, I want to say, 1,450 in terms of our eligibility for that. That code has to be changed, as I had indicated, what I would like to do, and this is one of the first steps in this process, the multi-step process, is that with the board's permission and approval, is to then sit down with our Sussex County legislative contingent and have a discussion about the policy and the intent of the board regarding admissions and processes that go along with that, along with building capacity, which we're then going to ask for the code to be stricken, that the rule for admission be embedded within the policy of the district. I don't know if that's going to happen, but we're at least offering them the documentation that says that this is the board policy, this is our process, this is what we're saying our limit is, and how we'll participate, and we'll continue to comply from that standpoint. We're also having... I think I said this to you last month. The other superintendents in Sussex County are aware that we're engaged in the choice process, that as a board we spent time talking about an option, hopefully one that we don't have to take a lot of advantage of regarding students maintaining good academic standard in order to remain in the school. We hope that they do well. We hope that they take advantage of the services and the wraparounds that we have for students along the way. I'll say it now rather than later. The letter to parents generated a little bit of what does this mean? And I will tell you that phone calls and the letter went from me. And couple of the phone calls were straight out thank yous. We've been trying to get name a student to take school seriously, and this letter helps us to have some leverage. So we talked about that. Other parents, and two parents that thought that the letter was only being sent to students who were failing, and I assured them that the letter went to all 1,300 students. And one set of parents had actually came in and had a meeting and sat down with me, and we went through the program, and the student is student's doing fine, and will continue to be enrolled. But for some parents, you really got to be doing fine to be fine. And so that meeting went well also. So I'm hoping that the letter had the desired impact and result. I didn't have anybody call me and say, you're out of your mind. I did send a copy to all of our legislators also. Said, by the way, this is what we're doing and where we're going. I've got no pushback from the legislative folks either. So just wanted to keep you informed about that. Questions, concerns, comment about either policy?
The freshman admission policy. Currently, all you have to do is pass the eighth grade and you're in the lottery.
That's correct.
So under this policy, if you pass the eighth grade, but you've been absent, or
well, part of
will they not be in the lottery?
That's the big question, isn't it, Brigham? Because according to the choice code, we have the right as a district to set a parameter of which students would be allowed to be eligible to participate in the lottery. So there's, it's the next step in the process, because we would have to sit down and discuss in open session, certainly talk with the building level leadership team, and we would make a recommendation to the board about how we would approach an admission standard along the way. We're gathering some information from some other districts about how they're utilizing choice. What's really interesting about it is that one of the eligible categories is capacity.
Well, yeah, you have to be 85% or something if you're
890 apps for 360 slots. And, you know, there's that capacity question. That's part of it too. Our premise is trying not to muddy the waters, trying not to backslide into what some of the concerns were with the district 15 years ago.
Yeah, we got to be careful, there is the philosophy that, let's say a student's not successful in the regular school district, you know, but put them in a vocational school where there's, you know, different types of instruction, different types of opportunities.
Yeah.
Maybe they would be, and we got to be careful not to eliminate those students.
Absolutely. And we're looking at, we have, I may be off on my number, Mr. Barter may know, we have a 196 sticks in my head in terms of current freshmen who applied to become 10th graders. They didn't make the lottery last year. So we have 196, but I think I was close. And what we do is we sit down and go through that review process, and we take into account guidance counselor recommendation, that the student really has a desire to want to be in auto body. That, you know, they go through that process. Now, we have 15 slots for 196 applications, but we're going through that process to allow students that transfer. I think I said this to you last month. We were encouraged to do that by one of my colleagues in another district. This means that you'll be able to accept a student who truly wants to come to Tech in order to be able to do that, and the answer is yes. So since I don't want to hear any grousing about that so-and-so transferred from year to year, they're not going to be, they won't come here because they can go to their left. They're going to come here because they want to have a vocational technical education. That's our basis. So, if they can go to their left, so be it. But
yeah, it will be right. When we get to the point where we're, let's say we have 15 freshmen that we're going to deny the ability to stay here for their 10th grade year, we're going to have to have some procedures in place, because it can be a slippery slope.
The basis for that, and what I hope I made clear last month, the basis for that is going to be academic standing only. Academic standing only. That, by the way, your GPA is this, and it needs to be this. We're letting you know that. We had another meeting this week about a second round of communication with the parents to let them know. But there will be that point in time, what do you mean my child can't continue in the school? Well, there was this notification, here's this notification, and here was this phone call. And we hope you take advantage of academic coaching in order to be able to stay. Because the truth of the matter is, we have 15 students who really don't want to be here.
I think that's certainly the offering. After school coaching,
they're here because their parents want them to be here. They have, and we understand it. We think we're a pretty good school.
Has the letter increased the attendance at Tech-A-Dell?
I'm waiting for that information to see if it has, because we had spring break and Tech-A-Dell is picking back up. But I'm curious as to whether,
that would be a sign.
Did we go from 2 to 6? Did we, did we grow? From that perspective. Understood. Other questions, concerns? Okay. School calendar, Dr. Donovan?
Yes, thank you. Our calendar committee met multiple times, and it consisted of Mr. Fogger, Meg Feliciani, Billy Bradenson, union member as well, Ryan Winklebite, former AD, now classroom teacher, Kelly Whaley, Mr. Athey had some input, Katie Birmingham, the CPA, and Tanya James had some input as well. So we had a nice cross-section of individuals to look at our calendar. We took last year's calendar, moved it into this year, and then began conversation. And some items were brought up about, for example, when do teachers want that first week day in their classroom to get ready. So Mr. Barber volunteered to create a survey. He sent a survey to his staff members, and we were able to get the entire teacher input about some items within the big calendar. So that was good to be able to continue to make this calendar the best it can possibly be for the entire staff. So thank you for doing that, bringing that data to the table. We've decided to proposing 5 days of professional development at the beginning of the year. Feedback was that it's important to have multiple days at the beginning. We have a new student system down the road coming. We're looking at a lot of professional developments that we have to do with our staff. Trainings that the state continues to add for us to complete. So we thought it was very important to add that extra time at the beginning. A brief note to September the 10th is our statewide professional development day. If you recall, it's typically in October, but the superintendents worked with the Department of Education to move that to the 10th because of the primary day.
Sacred primary day.
Yep, so that's happening. But we still liked in October that Friday, Monday professional development wraparound. So we did keep that in play. And you'll notice that when we do our professional developments, we sometimes create four-day weekends. We think that might be something good for our families to have multiple days together to take a little time off. So something our marking period dates are set. We have some very important dates in here like homecoming. We all have to know when homecoming is. 8th grade open house is in October 19th next year. And athletic start times, graduation, everything just fits as well. The complicated part of this schedule is that seniors have to come 1,032 hours, underclassmen 1060, teachers get 188 days, parents get 185, and all that has to start and then finish at the end and everybody has to have all those requirements. So this calendar does hit our mark for all those hours.
Well, my first question was input from the staff, but you've answered that. Okay.
Yeah, that was coming.
I know. Well, you probably know my second question then. Is there time at the end of the marking period to do grades? Because I was looking on here and I didn't see that, like a half a day for teachers to do grades.
Well, in order to bring the calendar to a close, if we take time off from students to embed in for teachers to do that component, it would extend us way far into June. Our teachers do have 45 minutes at the beginning every single day. That is almost additional planning time because our students arrive at 8:30, start class at 8:30, our teachers arrive at 7:45. So our discussions led to that time.
So the teachers were all right with?
We had two union members on the committee and there was discussion. But
I know it's been a sticking point in the past. That's
well,
what I'm asking.
I had a conversation every year. I'm sure you're here and I'm here. But yes, it was discussed. And this was good.
Okay.
This is this calendar also represents the every other year challenge with November.
Oh, yeah.
Primary day.
Veterans Day
September,
and Return Day.
Election Day, Return Day. Veterans Day, so you get this November shuffle that's in there, so, and it is tough. I'm off year from that. The number of student hours goes up. So I want to thank the committee for their work, and the recommendation that they made to me. We did some conversations about this, and we're pleased to present this to you tonight for your consideration. It does have to be approved by the board before the end of April in order to get to the Department of Education.
On Professional Development Day, no paras. What paras do that day?
Paras, teachers work 188 days, paras work 185. So there's 3 days during the year when paras are not required to come to work. They can come if they want to, but when we say no paras, it means that's one day, 186, 187, or 188, and you don't have to be here.
Because okay. I assume they need professional development as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. Always welcome. Thank you, Dr. Knopp. Mr. Athey? Updates, disruption, and otherwise.
Evening, ladies and gentlemen. So, I'll try to keep this brief. As we know, we have a little project going on.
Just a little.
Planning for some things and trying to keep it going. And the nice thing is, our civil engineer firm tends to keep pushing or dragging the design team along with them, trying to keep them all on track. And part of that is the pump station construction and approval, the agreement between us and Artesian. So our civil engineering firm has stepped in once again, trying to get our legal team and the Artesian legal team together to hash out some details on the contract. So that still is ongoing, but approval was received from DENREC on 3/27 to do that. So it's just some finality there.
So yeah. Artesian does water as well, sir?
Yes.
And where does George?
Both at the same time.
Oh, my. And where does Georgetown come into this?
Artesian.
Oh, so Artesian deals directly with Georgetown.
They're looking at taking over Georgetown.
Oh, they are. Okay, good.
And we're tied in. We pump our waste to Georgetown.
Right.
Which then pumps it to Milton.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good.
Other places.
Very good.
Campus site plan, the last item there, the tax ditch maintenance and setback agreement. We had a great meeting with stakeholders there, and we are doing everything possible to keep that intact and to protect that area. So again, good conversation, good agreements, good partnerships there.
Don't want to do anything to mess that up either. As you can see on the site plan on the board, the tax ditch goes around the entire west, north, and terminates the east of our campus on this side. So that's in place.
So what were the issues with DMRAC, with the tax ditch?
So they are, DENRAC has multiple groups within DENRAC. One of them is part of the tax ditch. So there are people that are supposed to clean out tax ditches. We are supposed to maintain a 25-foot setback, so we can't build anything within that 25 feet. And it is to remain open so that they can get their equipment in to do that. Because of some prior things and time, some of those areas have become encroached, not with structures, but with everything from weeds to trees to spoils from digging irrigation ponds at some point, you know, in the past century. So what could have been a very argumentative and costly conversation on one or both sides actually seems to have come out where all sides benefit and very little to no financial impact to many other than the state coffer that's already set up for that.
So we're going to correct those problems.
We are much agreeable to others correcting those problems on our behalf.
Yeah, okay.
Yes. So, so we are not contracting anyone directly mm-hmm. to do that other than the agreement to go ahead. Please do it for us. DENREC was very involved in that as well and agreeable to that. Which also means the west entrance, when we come in, that is part of a setback so that they can access our property to do that. So they have to then be able to get around the entire area to do so. Layout and design, the program room and needs. Actually had a first full day on-site meeting with architects and engineers, mechanical engineers. We went through 8 CTE areas on 325, and actually the design team actually spoke to the instructors in their spaces, went over the current design and equipment plans so that they could start looking at utility needs, electric hookup, floor drains, water supplies, those types of things, specialty HVAC equipment in certain areas. So it was a very productive day, a long time coming, but got about half of them done. We were supposed to have another one on the 12th, this Friday, but there was a conflict that came up today, and they are going to reschedule for the 16th. And we're hoping to get through the remainder of those programs to button those up, and so the mechanical engineers can do their work and get everything where it needs to be so that we don't move in and someone goes to turn on the sink and there's no water to it, or those types of things. So very productive. The instructors we met with were very informative, very cooperative, and it's refreshing to see people concerned about their area, but also concerned about other areas. Many of the ones we met with were, well, it'd be really nice for this, but I don't want to, spend an entire however much money if it's going to impact the overall project. So that's refreshing to see. We still ask for, yes, but what do you need? But that was very good there. And as far as everything else going on, it's same stuff, different day. We continue to go through finding leaks here and there in roofs and different things of that nature. Water systems, HVAC systems. And like whack-a-mole, our crews are excellent at finding bigger mallets if needed, but they push the problems back down until the next one crops up. Any questions?
Mr. Ave, it's about the new building, and Dr. Mastin asked some questions at our meeting a couple weeks ago. Is there anything in the teacher contract that says anything about the teacher's lounge or the teacher's dining rooms. I know in Indian River School District, we had it in our contract. And, you know, as you said, the teacher's lounges are small, so I just want to make sure if there's something in the contract to make sure that we are compliant with the contract.
There is nothing in the contract.
Okay.
The teacher's dining areas and lounges are going to be a whole lot nicer than what they currently have. And they do have spaces for that second floor, third floor, and also the cafe down on the first floor. So
as Dr. Mastin was saying, if you're a teacher and it's open to the public that day and you're trying to eat your duty-free lunch,
right,
the last thing you want is the parent next to you, like, oh, well, I need to, kind of thing.
They'll have places to be able to, to get to.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure, because like I said, in Indy River is part of our contract, so to make sure that we're not violating anything there.
No. All good.
Areas of refuge for everybody.
Thank you. Thank you. Mr. Carter, high school report, please.
Everybody. Well, I'll start off with we had an incredible SAT and PSAT day. It's the first time in 6 years that we didn't have any irregularities. We had to report to the state, and our percentage of students that actually took the test were much greater. We believe that the state had sort of put us on a little bit of an improvement plan because we had a handful of kids that did not improve. We were looking to increase that number. Participation numbers have skyrocketed. I want to thank Dr. Langley and Dr. Tull for all of their hard work in that organization. They really put a lot of effort into it. Our English staff and our math staff did a great job really preparing our kids for that. We are trying to increase our test scores along that way. We're trying to come out of the post-COVID world and try to get our scores going back up again. The staff did a great job with that, so I just want to thank our folks for all of that. And this is sort of the month, and I'm going to sort of conclude here with a letter that I just received 2 days ago from a community member related to our students. But before we get to that, I want to go through some of the other successes that we've had. Morgan Lowe, one of our students at Sussex Tech, she is a senior this year. She's qualified for, she participated in Sussex County Science Fair. She won that. She also qualified for two other science fairs. And she participated in the Delaware Valley State Fair. Just the other day, we got information that she took first place in that, and that was a competition between Maryland, New Jersey, New York, and Pennsylvania students together. So she just did an incredible job. Michelle Thomas, who is her mentor in that aspect, has done a great job working with her. Ms. Thomas for all that hard work that she did as well. We are in the middle of our CTSO competition. Our students are leaving every day. It seems like we have large chunks of students leaving and competing at the state level. HOSA was one of the first groups to go, and we did very well with our HOSA students. You can see the results there. We had our medical terminology first place, Carla Dominguez Perez, and we had a third place winner, Alex Cooper here. Physical therapy took first place, and sports medicine, we also took first place. They're all going to go. We're organizing the national. Right now, I don't know who's going to go because we've got some conflicts going on with schedules in the summertime as far as our adult supervisors there, but we're excited to go to the national competition as well. And our health pro students continue to do great work. If you see down there, the Harrison House long-term and rehabilitation facility in Georgetown recently hired 16 of our students, our health pro students in CNA. Mental Health recently contracted and hired 8 of our students in their hospital, and 5 will replace some doctor's offices throughout the area. This collaboration has also allowed us, for those who are 17 and older, to complete the clinical interview and become employed. So our work-based learning coordinator is doing a great job, our health pro teachers are doing a great job, and it's pretty amazing to see that take place. Have some updates on our band. We are the only band that's going to be representing the state of Delaware for July July 4th Independence Day Parade in Washington, D.C. So that's a year plus away. We just have a meeting related with that group that organization. We had to take care of some expenses and everything else. They told us that they would really like our kids to stay there for a couple of days, so that's going to add some cost. But we're looking with our band booster to see how they can help to support that process, which is pretty exciting. They recently participated in the Ocean City parade at St. Patrick's Day, and they did a great job. I don't know if anybody got down there, but I had the opportunity to go down and watch them. Great job down there. Our JROTC program continues to grow. They're actually getting ready to go to another drill competition 2 weeks from now. They're actually going to be in our gym this weekend practicing. So we're making some adjustments for them. And they're a young group of leaders, and they're doing a great job. You see a few of our service learning projects there that some of the organizations are involved with. Our NHS, International Technical Honor Society, sold over 300 mismatched socks this year to help celebrate and make an awareness to the Down syndrome programs. And as soon as staff and coaches have purchased in bulk, they spread the word, and we're able to donate some money to help prevent Down syndrome towards that. We also initiated a diaper drive along the way. And our FFA program, which we're hoping to really increase along the way, which Dr. Bullock and GL Jefferson have done a good job trying to recruit more students involved in our FFA program. We think it should be much larger than it really is right now. So we're doing some things, hopefully, in the future to increase that. The other state convention was held at Dell State. And we were represented by Hayden Chiselhall, Christian Ellis, Morgan Lowe, Hunter Keel, competed in the Milk Quality and Products CDE team competition. I believe that was the first year that we have been in that competition as well. Some staff news. We have four teachers, Jamie Birmingham, Jennifer Kidder, Mallory Reed, and Nancy Maceros, all work together on a cluster project or a integration project. And they created a program to help with our medical math for our students to work in, and they can show that throughout our programs to help our students understand medical math in the real world. Dr. Langley attended the NAASP Advocacy Conference in Washington, D.C. She is very well connected within our state and on the national level. She's currently the president-elect of the Delaware Association of School Principals, and she was invited to attend the National Association of Secondary School Principals, which I think is a national this coming summer. So she'll be there a different week than we are with SRED. Sports highlights. Right now, if you paid attention, yesterday our baseball team beat Del Mar 11-1. They were hoping that their trip to Myrtle Beach helps them be successful along the way. They were pretty excited. They had a really great couple wins early in the season. We just hope that we're strong enough to continue at the end of the season. They played really well yesterday. Boys lacrosse is doing extremely well as well. We missed that here. And girls soccer is actually doing pretty well this year for the first time in a while. Work-based learning numbers, we mentioned that a few minutes ago, but the total overall work-based learning numbers right now, we have 152 seniors participating. And they're working for 126 different business partners. There are 11 seniors who were recently offered full-time career positions following graduation, and that number continues to grow. We're actually looking at doing a special celebration for any students who have gotten or earned a full-time job for after graduation, and we're hoping to do a couple of pieces in the next couple of weeks with those students to celebrate.
How many total seniors do we have?
We have 227 right now.
50%. That's fantastic.
My question there is, why don't we shoot for 100%? I mean,
we should be, but
that's what our purpose is.
50%, that's growing.
It's growing from what it was. 321. I'm sorry.
It's growing.
It's growing.
We're still
at 320.
Above 50%.
I mean,
that's fantastic.
That's growing. I mean, that's what we're all about, right?
67%?
56.2.
Not if there's 320.
We've come a long way in a short time.
Yes.
And Mr. Dean Johnson is, I will tell you, is well connected. And I mean, today I know yesterday he had to go get some therapy on his hand. He had some surgery recently on his wrist. And on his way, he stopped at like four different places along the way. So we had a young man that didn't do a really good job with the car at IG Burton. And he had to call today, and IG Burton said, Send me another one. I love your kids. Even the kids that don't do great things, I still love your kids. Recent events are listed there, and there are some upcoming events. Of our upcoming events, prom is probably our largest. That's coming up in May. But before I end, I want to read this letter, and this kind of goes to what we were just talking about. This is really why we're here. So this is a letter that I received. The date of the letter is actually April 6th, but I received it in the office yesterday. It says, "Dear Mr. Bonner, and to whom it may concern, with her consent, I'm writing to express my sincere gratitude for the outstanding patient care provided by physical therapy student Miss Ariana Verano at Athletico Pivot Physical Therapy in Georgetown, Delaware. As a care provider for my friend, I was privileged to witness the astonishing skill and compassion exhibited by Ms. Verano. My first visit to Athletico Pivot Physical Therapy was the day after my friend's total knee replacement, January 26, 2024. Just prior to her scheduled arrival, my friend experienced heavy bleeding in the area in which the bandage was. As we walked through the pivot doors, blood gushed from the bandage down her leg and into her shoe. It was awful. We were shocked and overwhelmed. Part of the team, Ms. Verano, bravely ran towards the traumatic problem to provide support and bring supplies and offer calming words of encouragement. Ms. Verano demonstrated natural poise and composed expertise as she supported her two colleagues, both seasoned physical therapists. Together, the three staunched the gushing blood, applied pressure, and wrapped the surgical site. Thanks to the exceptional help we received, we were able to drive safely several towns away to the awaiting surgeon. Days later, the patient and I returned to begin her physical therapy. We were warmly welcomed back and rather shocked to learn that Ms. Verano is a student enrolled at Sussex Tech High School. Ms. Verano's professional demeanor, determined competence, an authentic desire to help provide healing and comfort. I shall never forget Ariana Verano and her rush towards the opportunity to be, I'm sorry, Arena Verano, to be of helpful service to someone in peril. Now 9 weeks have elapsed, and Ms. Verano has consistently demonstrated exemplary physical therapy support and uplifting motivation. Ms. Verano has worked closely with Ms. McCormick during her many weeks of rehabilitation. She has been a meaningful part of our positive experience. Your show's so appreciative of her. Please feel free to contact me with any questions described in this letter, Ms. Catherine Rogers." So this is really what our kids are about. This young lady was educated here. Talked to her dad a little bit today because I shared this letter with him. He was in some tears. But he said, you know, she really doesn't want to go to a four-year college. She wants to do what she's trained to do here. She's going to go to a two-year school after here. And she's really made an impact on this person's life, and this is really what we're all about. So it was really better to present to her as well. So she gave us two copies of this wonderful letter. This is really what it's about.
Good.
So, thank you. Any questions?
Thank you, Mr. Varner. Any questions? Tough act to follow. couple of items for you. Last evening, Derrickson and I were able to be with the founding members of the Sussex Tech Alumni Association as the board was inducted. Mr. Cronodal was there via the internet, and
Sarah's has done a great job getting this pulled together. They have their bylaws, they have their direction established. Officers have been appointed, told that their social media site is up to 273 contacts in a relative number of months, 2-3 months. And so that program is building. And so we were able to induct them, congratulate them, thank them, and encourage their continued participation in our school system and programs as we continue to go forward. They're an excited group. They asked to be invited to the ground breaking of the new school. It's interesting. You may have had an occasion where you've been able to return to the school that you may have gone to school and walk around the hallways, and it's interesting to watch people because they're like, well, over here used to be this, and over there I got in trouble, and over here, you know, all of those matters. So we're pleased with the work of the Alumni Association and its formation. We think it's going to yield to more communication and the ability to talk with our graduates to gather their input as we go forward. And I think it gives them an avenue to support the school that they care about also in terms of going forward from that standpoint. So I want to say thank you to that. Powell was inducted as president, Tanchika Smith as vice president, Samantha Hawes as the secretary, Jamie Richard Williams was the treasurer, Aaron Carey, Pebbles Hall, and Josh Lynch were all here in this room last night. We also showed them some pictures and video of the new school. They were pretty excited about that also, so that was a good thing. We continue to present opportunities to our staff and employees of the district regarding the foundation. Certainly invite the board to consider participation in the foundation also along the way. Again, it's a fundraising effort to support. I lost track, but I think we've probably got about 60 different accounts that folks can make contributions to, things that might be near and dear to their heart along the way. So as we talk about student trips to conferences and other things, we have a level of district support. There might be something that the foundation can do to help. It's 100%, everything goes straight to students from that standpoint. So the foundation is alive and well and continues to move forward.
How many dollars do you have in the fund?
It's about $176,000.
Really? Very good.
It's been going on a while.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to get it moving again. Eric's and Chris and others who've been involved with regenerating it. And when we write a few checks to support some programs along the way, that'll be helpful too. So that's the intention. I was able to join Heather Heidel in the program put on by two legislators, Representative Heffernan and Senator Kyle Evans-Gay. Senator Gay, I believe, is running for Lieutenant Governor. They co-chair a program called the Kids Caucus, where they address a couple of pieces of legislation. And House Bill 240, which deals with athletic trainers in high school environments, was one of those topics. And so I was able to join Heather and
couple of her colleagues, Dave Baylor from DIAA, to talk about why this is a good piece of legislation and should be considered. So Heather is the president, I believe the president-elect of the Athletic Trainers Group, also for the state. So we have people who are involved in leadership positions that are part of the outreach of the district, and we encourage that. So.
What's the issue? In other words, every school has athletic trainers, don't they?
No.
And they pay for it themselves, they don't?
They do not. And there's an athletic trainer shortage. We have an athletic training program here at Sussex Tech, which we just spoke of. And districts either try to pick up service. You have a requirement for coverage at athletic events, football games. And if you think of the school nurse walking the sideline, and, a doctor, we need a lot of them do contracted services. Honestly, contracted services are not that reliable. We're fortunate in that we have a person who is a full-time athletic trainer and is part of our staff. We're trying to replicate that service in every high school in the state of Delaware. There is legislative support to do this, but there's a cost because you're talking about a Division I unit. In order to be able to do that, the model that's contained within the bill includes a three-year step-in process. We would receive funding for a full-time trainer in year three if, in fact, the bill is passed. Representative Smith from Newcastle County is a primary on it, and the Speaker of the House is a primary on it also, so we're hoping that it has a chance to work its way through appropriations and get to the floor. We think schools are better if they have an athletic trainer as part of their staff. And, you know, they help all kinds of students. It's not just athletes. I mean, I may have said this, we were at Odessa playing a football game, and one of the band members fell out. And Heather went and addressed it and help folks along the way. So they're part of the medical team, part of the wellness team of the school system, which is important for a lot of our students. So appreciated the opportunity to participate with them in being able to do that. So say thank you. The Morgan Mount recognition is significant. The work that everyone is doing. Congratulations regarding the SAT. So we're doing our best to finish strong, and eclipses are behind us, and award season is coming up, spring sports and prom and graduation, and all of those things are coming forward. We will send you a calendar of events going forward so that you can check your schedules regarding that's all I have for you, sir.
Thank you, Dr. Carson.
Next, we'll move to board reports. Ms. Jones?
We meet at the end of this month.
The 27th, I believe.
It's Wednesday, 2 weeks
the 24th.
From today. It should be 2 weeks from today, yes.
The graduation.
Yes, because, I told you I couldn't do that because, and I missed the last meeting because we had our board meeting the same night as the legislative committee met. So.
Yes, my apologies. I got 10.
Mr. Hayes.
Sorry, yes. National Convention was held this past weekend. Thank you for allowing me to attend. The National Office believes that there's a shortage of teachers, and they've tried their best with programs that we can use, or everyone can use, to attract new teachers. On the state level, DIAA, Mr. Carson had mentioned that, image, likeness, and name recognition is being proposed. We as an organization, we're not opposed to that. That means that a student-athlete can be endorsed, get compensation for his image, his likeness, or his name. And it still is an amateur. You still participate as an amateur and go from there. There's no opposing to it.
As a high school athlete.
Yes, this is a half high
school. It's already happened.
Yes.
Exactly.
We're one of the only states that don't have it.
Yeah. The only thing would be branding of our image. We have a raven as an image that would be a copyright issue, but this to be explored later.
Thank you, Mr. Hayes. Anything else?
Yeah, discussion about a port.
Next, we'll move to public participation. Seeing none, we'll go to agenda action items. I need a motion for the approval of personnel action items.
So moved, Dr. Maston.
Second, Adele Jones.
Motion made by Dr. Maston, seconded by Ms. Jones. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Next, I need a motion for the approval of monthly financials for March 31st, 2024, and the ESSER summary.
So moved, Marcel Hayes.
Second. Motion made by Mr. Hayes, seconded by Ms. Wise. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion passes unanimously. Next, I need approval for district purchase orders, change orders, and vouchers.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Johnson, seconded by Mr. Knudel. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion passes unanimously. Next, I need a motion for the approval of the financial position report as of March 31st, 2021.
So moved, Marcel.
Second. Motion made by Mr. Hayes, seconded by Ms. Wise. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Next, I need a motion for the approval of the second reading of board policy, JJH, student travel.
So moved, Will Knudel.
Second, Adele Jones.
Motion made by Mr. Knudel, seconded by Ms. Jones. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Next, I need a motion for the approval of the second reading of board policy, JFA, freshman admissions, lottery, and building capacity.
So moved, Marcel.
Second, Will Knudel.
Motion made by Mr. Hayes, seconded by Mr. Knudel. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Next, I need a motion to approve the school calendar for 2024-2025.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Wise, seconded by Mr. Hayes. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion passes unanimously. Is there any unfinished business or new business? Hearing none, our next meeting is Wednesday, May 8th, 2024. I need a motion for adjournment.
So moved, Adele Jones.
Second, Will Knudel.
Motion made by Ms. Jones, seconded by Mr. Knudel. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Meeting's adjourned.